Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
He'll take a hit from Rooney, but gets it to Svechnikov. Kane's able to make some change to the personnel. As Pesci gets it to Smith. His rocket doesn't get through. Knocked down by Trouba.
Halftime, Sharp and Benning in the morning, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, brought to you by Harsh Cigars, Pipes, and Lounge. Want to relax, just take a little edge off, shoot the breeze, and catch up with some buddies, maybe not. Harsh Cigars, Pipes, and Lounge has got you covered. Fine cigars, enjoy a nice cocktail. Pretty cool location off the North 48th Street exit, Mormon Bridge Road, located right next to Cubby's.
Our discussion with John Higgins has elicited quite the responses. The Equitable Bank inbox is filling up. We're going to get to those in a moment. But I thought of you because I wonder if this ever has happened to you. You know, everybody knocks you for your parking. People in Omaha can't park anyhow. People in Omaha can't drive.
Yeah.
But you're a better parker than you are a driver.
Correct. I'm a great parker. Average driver.
Have you ever come in contact, because this is becoming famous, are you familiar with the parking lot at 108th and Q in Omaha?
108th and Q. I'm over there three times a week. Where in particular?
There's a rock.
Oh, yeah.
That is causing issues with people, and it got another car yesterday that drove up on the rock.
Yeah, I don't understand
that. It's 108th and Q, and I don't know why people don't know where is the right place to make a turn, but yet they turn and they are then centered on a rock at 108th and Q in the parking lot.
It's notorious.
This keeps happening. How? How, people? And every time it happens, I always see a picture. Somebody will take a picture because you're stuck.
And it gets high center.
You're high center and you're stuck. And so people are going to take a picture. How does this keep happening? And how do you know not where to turn?
Yeah.
That rock has claimed, I would say, probably we're into double figures of vehicles. 108th and Q, if you're familiar with it, you're shaking your head going, yes, I know.
And about, I'll give it 60 seconds, somebody will have a picture of a vehicle that they've taken.
I got one yesterday.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's not just like bad-looking cars or beat-up cars. It's like some nice cars that I've seen.
Maybe it's a depth thing. Like, you think you have more clearance, but to get up on there, you're totally not paying attention.
I mean, it's going to become a tourist thing. When people come to town for the College World Series, they're like,
Rockhenge?
Where should we go? Henry Dorley. And then you got to go see this rock that claims cars at 108th and Q.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
How about that call to your insurance company? You did what?
Hey, what happened?
You did what?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so our discussion here with John Higgins, there's some more context to this story. So the organization has banned the coach and his son, who was the one that got kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
We're gonna read through a couple of these emails. I didn't think this would turn into an officiating story, but once we heard that John Higgins went on Travis Justice's show and told the story, I said, we got to get Higgy. Now you know the story, and I'm sure it'll be blown up, as he was alluding to. This will become a national story.
I'm mad we didn't pay more attention, Sherpy.
Well, you got to read your texts.
Hey, do you text?
Yeah.
And now he was very general when he was texting me, and it was during the show, so I'm doing a couple of things at once. I didn't get the gravity necessarily of what he was telling me real time. And when it popped up yesterday, I was like, I wonder if this is the same story. But then when you read it, he knew his son was involved. I was like, well, what are the odds?
A couple of emails here. In the Equitable Bank inbox, Stephen M. Sipple. will join us at the bottom of the hour. This is from Iowa JD, who is, by the way.
Did you just dub him that? Because,
well, so, you know.
No, we're just going to go with Iowa JD.
Yeah, Iowa JD, who is one of the better softball umpires.
He does wrestling, too.
So, but he is well known.
Yeah.
He writes into the Equitable Bank inbox. And him and I had a discussion last week because we had Dan Masters on, and I asked him about the lack of umpires for baseball and softball. And he knows JD because JD has worked their state tournament before. I got my daughter, who will graduate on Saturday from TJ, to start umpiring softball at 16 years old. She's now starting her third year. Her first year, I worked with her every step of the way. Now she goes without me. Last Sunday, she was working a MUS tourney at Zerinsky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what MUS is. She was working a 12 and under tournament.
League designation.
Gotcha. She was also working with a brand new umpire, so Mallory could help her. Mallory worked both of the plates and had the young lady work the field to get that down first. She had to call me between games to let me know and understand how bad the fans from Gretna were. Ooh, now you're getting excited.
I don't
How they were dropping F-bombs from the stands on two girls working. Mallory is tough as hell, and it doesn't affect her, but her partner looked like she was in a gun battle and was rattled. Mallory got her through the games, and she let the fans have it. I know my daughter used choice words to those fans. She came home to apologize to me. She thought she would be in trouble for what she said to the fans. I said, absolutely not. I said, Mallory, a long time ago at Dill Field, I had all the fans removed from a game, and it was just players and coaches, and all the fans were huddled up outside the fence in center field to watch, make them feel stupid next time they try to get rid of me. David writes in, begin the reform by limiting the way a basketball coach can roam the sidelines.
That's a good one.
As a former wrestling coach, I have always been amazed at the latitude given basketball coaches. Wrestling coaches are confined to a chair at the corner of the mat. We could only approach the scores table to question a scoring mistake or get a rule interpretation. Questioning judgment of the official costs a team point. Watching coaches badger basketball officials all game long leads to players and fans chiming in. Hold the coaches back, and it begins with change. Now, here is another email, and we also get this sentiment as well, because I think both you and I have shared this as well. So this is kind of on the other side as well. John writes in, I'm sorry, but as a parent and coach in youth sports, there needs to be more accountability in officiating as well. Refs make terrible calls, and there is no accountability in their performance. Rather than admit fault, they dig their heels like stubborn children, which triggers others to behave inappropriately. Why are there so many bad calls by refs? Answer, poor training. All parties need to be held accountable. Now, I do believe that younger officials, not everybody can have a Final Four official helping you. They need to be trained better than just, hey, come watch somebody officiate and then put the shirt on and go out there and work a fourth grade game and you don't know mechanics. I mean, they need to pair veteran officials with a young official at the beginning.
And that's what happened with me. I mean...
But I agree with John about the
started out doing super low level and gradually moved up. And I joke with John now that he made me nervous. But we went to a three-man crew, and we practiced rotations and where to be. And he would kind of oversee and coach. And it was nerve-wracking at first, right? Because you're like, oh, gosh, this guy's arguably the best in the business. But I know it works. Mechanics are something else, right? Just a simple... open hand closed, you know,
dead ball.
Yeah. It's mechanics are interesting because you don't see them a lot, not as much as you'd think. Now, I was just talking to T Mac over Twitter, and because Higgy said something about one of the things the parents said about money. Hey, we pay too much, and. He said, you know, the money can't be an excuse. You got to curb the behavior. But I'll be honest, if I'm being 100% transparent there, the more money that you pay for a tournament, I think, whether it's subconsciously or intentional, you do expect a certain level of officiating. And I don't even know if it's our team versus their team or whatever. I think it's just consistency is really... what most people care about. Now, I mean, I've seen it all, right? I mean, he talked about Brent, and I, you know, and we had the very famous episode where, you know, he asked me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And not to rehash that story, but there's a
deal that I think spectators would abide by if they didn't get any attention. Sometimes people just talking loud, talking to themselves, just falls on deaf ears, right? If you don't. So I think the real trick, other than the coaching box thing, because I think that's fantastic, because they do get a lot of latitude. You know, you see guys that'll stand on the court and hold up games just because they're talking, right? Hey, man, I'm just trying to play a game here, you know? But I think not lending any credence to what's being said is a pretty big deal that I think the officials can actually control, because you don't have to pay it any mind. A lot of times, man, you see responses.
Yeah, you do.
Well,
I've noticed officials responding more in the last couple of years.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, and it's hard because we know so many of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. Hang out with a few. Then it's like you get it. Well, shoot, Kevin just called us the other day or yesterday, right?
Yeah,
I've seen him have some doozies.
He's a guy that works a lot of games for OSA.
Yeah, and both Bryans, O'Neill and Arvin, there's just a lot of guys that we know that it's just like under the gun, but the intensity and the pressure of the sports doesn't help either. You know, it's funny, inevitably, and we have all these segments and people always have their worst sport now, right? They're the worst and they're the worst. And you know, there was a dead heat between youth softball and youth wrestling, and now we're back to discussing basketball. I think at the end of the day, regardless of whatever sport you think bears the brunt the most, it's just thinned out in terms of people doing it.
Yep.
And the money's pretty, like, it's...
Well, it has become very good.
I'd love to make 25, 30 bucks an hour.
It's become pretty good because there's such a need for officials. Not only youth sports, high school.
Yeah.
I mean, you could work high school and make some pretty good money. I mean, I know a college kid at Nebraska. He works high school baseball. And, you know, he'll work 3-4 games on a weekend. And right now he said at the high school level, because there is such a need and it's competitive, because if you don't have officials, you ain't, you know, umpires, you're not playing a game. He said, you know, some schools are paying more and it becomes a competition.
Yeah.
That's another email here in the Equitable Bank inbox. Then we're going to get to John. This is from Bellevue Joey. He was a ref for 13 years.
I thought it said 33 at first, and I was like, there's no way he's that old.
A ref for 13 years. Actually,
yeah, I had to go back and read it.
John Higgins once before, so I know what he's talking about. I refed a youth tournament at Millard North a year before the pandemic, and I saw officials on another court have to eject a whole section in a fourth grade game, all because the ref didn't call 3 seconds in the lane in a fourth grade game. So I feel with what he just said. We're also getting the response of, okay, officials be better. Do a better job.
Right.
Your part about money is true, because I hear that. If I'm going to a weekend tournament, do most people, let me ask you this. Do most people know that part of their admission fee goes to the officials? To pay the officials?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that's a sentiment. Hey, I'm paying $60 for a weekend pass. You know, that seems pretty high. I don't know what the comparison is across, you know, Iowa, the Dakotas, Kansas City, or here. I do think, okay, if you're charging me a lot, are you getting the best officials?
I don't necessarily. I don't think there's a direct correlation, but I will say this, and maybe this is too myopic. I mean, not going from 11th place to 5th place in the Big Ten baseball tournament, myopic, but...
Cartwheel, Tuesday. go Will Bolt.
You do see now, at least, there are those courts for signature game, like...
Yes.
For big games, right? And sometimes you can even get 3 officials. Now, if you have a shortage, I don't know how feasible that is, but that sometimes is one way to alleviate. You can't be losing your mind over a third or fourth grade game, though. But a lot of the officials say it's tougher at the lower levels than it is as you get older. You know, I know if you ask Jay, she'll tell you she'd much rather be in the stands older than younger. You know, what Caleb's game is vastly different than Mike.
Yeah, so I've heard the adage from some officials, the younger the players on the floor, the worse the parents.
I could see that. You know, but AC says, I hate the whole we paid money for this argument. But be decent. I pay money for a lot of stuff and services, and it doesn't give me the right to berate someone. That's pathetic when I hear that argument.
But this is what organizers of tournaments get back. You're charging me $60 and you can't get me better officials than this?
Yeah, well.
Here is John. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Gary Damon, how y'all doing?
Good, what's John.
Up? What's up, buddy?
Good. So I'm a retired sports official. I retired from everything about 4 years ago. I was a football official, softball official. I was actually the head umpire in Omaha for about 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And then I also did wrestling. And Gary, you and I talked, I think, maybe a year ago or so about the epidemic that is happening with officials.
Yep.
It's in crisis mode. And, you know, the worse the parents or the coaches or the players treat the newer officials, the less amount of people that want to do it, no matter how much money you pay them. So that's point number one. Point number two that I have is that since those parents know so much about the sport and how it should be officiated, well, maybe you should join the officiating crew. You know, get on board with it because you know it. You're cussing out the officials. You know, and making it hard on them. But if you know it, come join. Come to an NSAA, clinic. Read a rule book. At least know what the color of a rule book is.
John, let me ask you something. In your history, and you've done this a while, as I'm trying to put a face to the voice, especially with what you've done, do you find it better? Do you not pay it any mind, or do occasionally you try to set the tone early and then see that and see how that goes? Like, which one typically has worked better for you?
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing with me. I took a lot of pride in my craft, and I had some really good trainers, and I wanted to be the best official that I could be out there all the time, every single inning, every single pitch, every single takedown, you know, every single pass. And I took a lot of pride in that. So because of that, the hustle that I provided for the players and coaches and families, I rarely had problems. Rarely. And if I did, I would just go and have a conversation with the coach and talk to him just like we're talking right now. Hey, coach, this is what I'm saying. This has to stop. Immediately. Okay, you get my drift?
Yeah.
Yep, okay, we're good.
You get my drift.
We go back. But Damon, my third point is, Damon, one time I was, it was probably around 2005, 2006 maybe, I was umpiring a softball game, and I looked up, that's Clinton Child. That's Damon Benning.
Yeah.
And then In Zone Jones was on the team, too.
Yeah.
And I remember that I had to eject you from that game for using an illegal
bat. Illegal bat, yeah.
Yep, you remember that?
I do.
That's me.
That was over, was that Fort Calhoun, was that Hummel Park?
It was Dodge Park.
Yeah.
I
remember that.
Yeah, and you took it well. You said, okay, Bliss, thanks. And you walked out.
I remember that. Huh. I'm two and two together. Nice. I was kind of putting it together. I appreciate the call.
Hey, JP, thank you.
Yep, you bet.
Glad I took it well.
Yeah, because that would just ruin this whole conversation that we're having right now.
I had to put that. So I think I missed a deadline. I needed a sticker. It's an Easton Synergy. It was black and yellow. And it was almost my favorite bat of all time, but got to be a little too hot, and I think you had to have a sticker. And I smoked this thing, and I can't remember why he took a look at it. But whatever the reason, I do remember that. I remember that like it was, because we didn't play over there very much. Somehow we got caught up in a league over there.
What do you mean a sticker?
Designation for good, bad versus not. There was like a stretch, and some other guys could probably remember
good,
this.
Good, bad, or like a practice bat or something?
So there were these hot bats, and Synergies were one of them. The Mikan had a freak. It was called the Freak that you couldn't use because they you basically could hit the ball too hard. And so they changed the specs on it. And my Synergy was no bueno in that league.
In that league.
It was good in other leagues.
Gotcha.
But not good in,
so you had to have a sticker designated.
Yeah, it was not
gotcha.
Good in that one.
See, Shane, we miss the competitive softball world of Damon. But we hear the stories all right. We got Steve
serious?
Sybil coming up here in a little bit. Another email here from Andy. And this is a point that both you and I hear a lot. And I will say this. I officiated a little bit. My dad officiated for a long time, football, softball, baseball, did basketball. I watched him. I would go to games. So I did it a little bit to make money when I was in high school and then 1 year in college. Andy writes in, because there are a lot of men and women that take huge pride in their craft. And this is their, maybe a passion or a hobby. Andy writes in, Gary, it just isn't young or new officials that can frustrate. In fact, I would give them a lot more grace. The officials that bother me are the ones that lazily officiate the game. If they don't show interest in getting up and down the court to be in position to make an accurate call, then they should not be there to collect a paycheck. Those players work their butts off and deserve better officiating than a lazy official that won't keep up even a moderate pace with the play on the court.
Yeah. So the whole being in position thing is probably what I hear the most. Like if I was just taking like a quick mental note, it's not even so much the lack of an explanation. It's, are you rotating? Are you always on the baseline? Did you cross half court? I mean,
the not crossing half court is the thing that's always bothered me.
That's probably number one. And it's not block charge. It's none of those bang bang things. It's always how do you make that call from such and such a spot on the floor? Which I know sometimes drives officials crazy because they in turn would say, if I see a foul, I'm going to call a foul.
Mm-hmm.
Or, they don't like the whole, that's not your call. I mean, that happens. That's 85% of it, right? I mean, when we're in a gym, that's 85% of the back and forth.
Yeah, we are in this area nearing a crisis for officials. I know people this fall in football are already starting to wonder, are they going to have enough to have like freshman and JV games?
Yeah, there's been plenty of games. I've seen plenty of games canceled, or officials have to get there late.
Well, in I know in Minnesota, for example, they have had to cancel varsity games because they just don't have officials.
Yeah.
There's just not enough of them. All right, 8:30 Sips coming up here in a little bit. Sharp betting in the morning.
My guy. He said fans make calls all game long and don't cross half court.
Sharp betting in the morning on 1620 The Zone.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.